Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. This is the word of the Lord.
Oh, good morning. I apologize for the coldness. This says the heat is on, but the other thermostat said the heat is not on. So something is happening, and we'll hopefully figure it out soon. But I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving with your family or friends, or even just taking time to rest by yourself. Let us pray first. Lord, I ask that the words reflected today reflect your will, that you know the meditations we hold in our hearts, that they be acceptable in your sight. For God, you are our creator, our redeemer, our sustainer. Amen. So last Sunday, I started a sermon about things we should be thankful for. And I asked people to write down a list, maybe of 3 or 4 or 5 things they were thankful for. When the children's choir's fellowship class, one of the kids did this. The children wrote down things like family and friends and also fun stuff like video games and backpacks and iPads. I don't know how many 6 and 8-year-olds have iPads, but some of them wrote that down. And of course, they also put God and Jesus in church. So I think about the things that we write down if we wrote a list of things we are thankful for. What would you put? My own list would probably include family and friends and health, or if you had a wonderful Thanksgiving dinner, you might have put down the food you ate for Thanksgiving. I had a cousin who was home from Paris this Thanksgiving, and he is actually a pastry chef. So he brought these really delicious homemade macaroons, like pumpkin crust with a spicy nutmeg filling in the macaroon. It was delicious. All these are things that we can be thankful for. And we have to remind ourselves not to be thankful for things that God gives us or does for us just on Thanksgiving Day, but every day, not just on the 4th Thursday of the month, and not just at Christmas time, and not just at special occasions, but every single day, we must be thankful for what God gives us and does for us. When you think about a list that you might make of things you're thankful for, does it include those material things, home and clothing and food, and even family and friends are in a way material? Because these are all things that God gives us. But what we need to especially remember is not to be thankful just for what God gives us, but be thankful for what God does for us. I think too often we fall into that trap of thankfulness of thinking about material things, the house, the clothes, the family, the spouse. Even my spouse Phil is a material thing. And I can remember to be thankful for those things because God gives me those things. But I must especially remember what God does for me, because that is what is most important. God gives us material things, family and health and home, but these things are not permanent. What God does for us is provide with us love and grace and mercy. These things are permanent. God gives us clothes. He gives us food. These things are perishable. Your clothes will not last forever. The food will not last forever. There's expiration dates on the food we eat. But God does for us and gives us forgiveness, everlasting life with him. This is not perishable. It never ends. There is no expiration date on what God does for us. God gives us options in our life to choose a path we might take. We can choose wrong ways and get off the path, but go right back on the path again. But again, this is a material, not permanent thing. It's always changing. But what God does for us is sacrifice his only son on the cross for us. This is never changing and never will change. God does amazing things for us. And that is what we must remember when we say we are thankful to God. As the Psalm scripture passage this morning reminds us with the words of David, that bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. This scripture passage does an amazing thing. It lists all the things that God does for us. The scripture passage reminds us not to forget all the benefits from the Lord. For the Lord forgives all iniquities. The Lord heals all diseases. The Lord redeems our lives from the pit. The Lord crowns us with his steadfast love and satisfies us with good, so our youth is renewed like eagles. These are all amazing and wonderful things that the Lord does for us. As I spoke about last Sunday, the first three of the things, the Lord forgives all our iniquities. Jesus Christ, when he was dying on the cross, the very first thing he said was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." Father, forgive them. The Lord forgives us all our faults and failures. He does not keep a list of all the things that you have done wrong. They say that sometimes when you wake up in the morning till the time you go to bed at night, you will commit 20 different things that is wrong. Whether it's speeding on your way to work or cutting in line at the grocery store or telling a lie to a friend just to get to somewhere faster. We do all these things that are wrong, but the amazing thing is God forgives us the small things and the large things. And then God also does a wonderful thing where he heals our diseases. He knows that we are broken. He knows that we need to be healed. And he finds all wonderful ways to restore us. Whether he puts special people in our lives, people that struggle just as we struggle and we can relate to, pastors and ministers and friends and people at church that can help heal our souls. God does this amazing thing for us. And he also, what we say, is redeems us from the pit. He rescues us when we have fallen. He helps bring us up and lifts us up to be by his side. God does these amazing things. I spoke a lot about those things last Sunday, and this morning we're looking at the last two things that God does for us. God crowns us with his steadfast love, and God satisfies us with good so that we are renewed like the eagles. The first one, God crowns us with his steadfast love. Think about that. Now, when we think about being crowned, we have pictures of royalty, of kings and queens wearing beautiful crowns or tiaras or all those wonderful things. And we know that when someone gets crowned, a crown is placed on their head. It signifies importance. It signifies that they are royalty. It signifies that they are leaders. How do we as Christians get crowned with God's steadfast love? Is there a crowning 101 basic course you take? Are there steps or tests that we have to go through? Is there a special ceremony that you have? No, you are simply crowned with God's love when you accept Jesus Christ in your heart. How wonderful and amazing is that to think about? When you accept, simply open your heart and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are crowned with God's steadfast love. I like to tell people, when you think about it, Jesus is our King. He is royalty. He is our Lord and Savior. And as we begin this Advent season and we talk about things like hope and faith and joy and love, as you see on the banner, we know that Jesus is the head of all this. He is the King, the leader, the ruler, the Messiah, the Savior. Jesus is our King. Yet we lowly, humble human beings are crowned because Jesus' love for us, that Jesus died on the cross for us. When Jesus died on the cross, he wore a crown of thorns. And this crown of thorns was a symbol of his sacrifice, of God sacrificing his son for us. This crown of thorns then deemed Jesus as a sacrifice, our Savior. And then we, in turn, because Jesus died on the cross, the crown of thorns on his head, receive God's love. We are crowned with God's steadfast love because Jesus died on the cross for us. So we must recognize and remember this, and remember that Jesus is so important in our lives. I'd like you now to imagine a house with four rooms, and this house represents you. Each room is a special room and is a different purpose for your relationship with God. The first room is the kitchen, where you, of course, in any kitchen, cook and get good food to get sustenance, to build you up, to survive even. This is a core room in your new relationship with God, and it represents things like scripture that you must read to draw closer to God. And another room is the living room, the room where you relax, where you are with friends and family. You have fellowship time. This is another room that represents your relationship with God. For in this room, you have your church friends, you have your fellowship groups, all these things that build up you up in Christian love and draw you closer to God. And then there's also the room that every house must have, the bathroom. I've never seen a house for sale that said zero bathrooms, right? There's always at least one bathroom. And in this room is the room where you get clean, where you are honest about your faults and your sins, and it might be a personal room where you only have one true friend that you trust, whether it's your pastor, a longtime childhood friend, or the spouse that you married, a person that you share all your deep secrets with, where you get clean and you wash away the dirt and you confess your sins and you admit when you are wrong and guilty. This person is a person you talk to and helps you in your relationship with God. And then there's, of course, the bedroom, where every house must have a wonderful bedroom, a place for you to relax, to rejuvenate when you sleep at night, to wake up in the morning spiritually renewed. And in this bedroom, you do spiritual practices, whether it's reading the Bible daily or walking with a friend in prayer or taking the time to sing in the church choir, all these wonderful spiritual practices that renew you and, again, draw you closer to God in this wonderful house. But how do you get to each room? You must go through a doorway. Even to get into the sanctuary, there's one set of doorways, the second set of doorways, and a third set of doorways, and even if you count that, a fourth set of doorways. Every room you enter has a doorway. Jesus Christ is that doorway for us. Jesus Christ is the entryway for us into all the doors. Jesus said in John 10, verse 7 to 9, that I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep do not listen to them. For I am the door. Whoever enters by me will be saved. Jesus is the doorways in all our houses, the entryway into our relationship with God. For if we are in the bathroom and confessing our sins to a friend or to the pastor, we must also confess our sins to Jesus, who died for us and is our entryway to God. If we are in the living room and relaxing and having a wonderful fellowship time, we must have Jesus at the core, for he is who we enter through to be closer to God. Jesus is so important, and it is through Jesus that we are crowned in God's steadfast love. And then we also must remember that God also does this amazing thing for us. He satisfies us with good, so we are renewed like eagles. What a wonderful image to think about, how we are so satisfied that we are renewed like eagles who soar freely above the clouds. Now, when you think about satisfaction, I think if we are honest with ourselves, we are never maybe satisfied with what we have. When I went turkey shopping for the grocery store to buy the turkey on Monday, there was this woman in front of the frozen turkey bin. And she had two carts next to her, and she would lift up a turkey, I guess look at the label to see the size or the weight of the turkey, and then she would kind of hold it, I guess, to see the form of this frozen turkey, and then she would put it in the cart. And I thought, okay, that's the turkey she's purchasing. And she did it with another one and another one. She did it with three turkeys, and she kept putting them in the carts that were next to her. She had two empty carts. And I thought, okay, well, I have to get my turkey, but maybe I'll go get some of the other items on my shopping list and come back. So when I came back 5 minutes later, that woman, she had one cart full of these turkeys, and then she was starting on another cart, again, taking the turkey out of the bin, looking at the size and weight on the label, kind of lifting it up. I'm not sure what she was looking for. She did that through all the turkeys, and finally, I guess, picked out of that first cart the one she thought was the best. She had it in that little childlike seat. And then she put all the other turkeys back in the frozen bin. And I said to my dad, I said, oh my gosh, this woman, she's looking for that perfect turkey, I guess, with the right weight, with the right look when she was holding it up, with the right shape. She wasn't satisfied with all those other turkeys, and she was there probably a good 10 or more minutes trying to be satisfied to find the right turkey. Are we sometimes like that in our life, where we're never satisfied what we have and we think there's something better next to come? Or if you go to the movie theater, one of the newest things in the movie theaters are those drink machines. Have you seen those? It says over 300 options possible. And I saw a little kid once in front of the drink machine. He would push Coke. And then when you push Coke, you had to put diet, Coke Zero, no caffeine. And when you push that option, then you put lemon-flavored, vanilla-flavored, cherry-flavored, raspberry-flavored. There are all these options that we have. Can we ever be satisfied with what we have before us? When we say we are Christians and truly believe in the Lord and have Jesus Christ in our hearts, then we say we are truly satisfied. There is no other way of life. Our only way of life is through Jesus Christ, so we are satisfied with good, and God renews us like eagles. Isaiah says in verse 30, chapter 28, "Have you not known, have you not heard, that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of earth on the ends? He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless, even the youth." All you FCBC youth here with us this morning, "even the youth will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings on eagles and shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint." The Lord satisfies us and renews us. This is an amazing thing He does for us, so that our faith is renewed, not just at Thanksgiving, not just at the beginning of Advent, but all year round when we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and remember to be thankful for all that the Lord does for us. For He forgives all our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. He redeems our life from the pit. He crowns us with His steadfast love, and He satisfies us with good, so that we are renewed like eagles. Let us pray. Lord, as we begin this season of Advent, we know that hope, faith, love, and joy surround us not just today, but all the year through. For we are so thankful for all that You have given us, but most importantly, for all that You do for us. For You gave up Your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, so that we may be forgiven, that we may be redeemed, crowned in Your love, and surrounded and renewed with good. In Your Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen.